Hello, I'm Jimmy Zingaro, back with another segment of Fantasy Football with the Boys, joined by my co-host, Matt Martin, Michael David, and once again, back with the man himself, Mr. Shivers.
Good to be back, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back, Shivers.
Welcome back, buddy.
Okay, as we always do, first, we'll start with the recap from Week 8. Our top performers this week were kind of a surprise with two of them. Michael Carter, the performer of the week, with 32.2 fantasy points. He had 77 rushing yards, a touchdown, 9 receptions for 95 yards. In PPR, that's monster numbers. And then A.J. Brown had 31.5 points on 10 receptions, 155 yards and a touchdown. And Mike Pittman with 30.6 points, 10 receptions, 86 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Mayo, you want to talk about some of those players?
One of the surprises of the year, Michael Pittman. He's a tall guy. He can just go up there and grab whatever Carson Wentz throws at him. And for a receiver, that's a very hard challenge. So big ups on Michael Pittman.
Yeah, I'm not going to say like he's too much of a surprise for the year, but I think 30 points is a big surprise for him. I obviously saw like the potential he had coming into this year. If he got wide receiver one like production, I always thought he would be a beast. But yeah, he just showed this week he's a beast.
How about our boy, Michael Carter, the rookie running back for the Jets, coming in, leading the team in basically every offensive category. Mike White loved to check down to him this game. I think Carter had 9 receptions for 95 yards. He's a special player on this Jets offense. He's really a Kickstarter for him.
Yeah.
How about the Jets as a whole?
Yeah.
The big performance, also a surprise from Mike White.
Mike White.
Coming
Mike
in for the Jets. White. 26 point fantasy points. 405 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. He came back after he threw 2 interceptions early in the game, came back as his first game as a starter, then threw 3 touchdowns and won the game for the Jets over a pretty good Bengals team.
Yeah, I won't lie. I personally thought it was going to be a long day for the Jets watching the beginning of that game. He had 2 early interceptions, but he bounced back very well, to say the least. Good performance.
Back to the Michael Pittman segment. Shiz, what's your opinion on how Carson Wentz is playing this year?
Two sides to that. As a Eagles fan, it makes me sad because it's kind of showing that we shouldn't have gotten rid of him as quickly as they did. However, I love seeing it. I had nothing but support for him going into this season. I want to see him get back to that 2017 ability that he was showing, and he's kind of starting to show that.
Especially with glimpses, yeah.
Right, Michael Pittman, that big guy, like you were saying, kind of looks like 2017 Alshon Jeffrey. So maybe that connection's there.
Yeah.
So I love seeing it. Yeah. Nothing but support for Carson.
I think being back with Frank Wright was huge for him as well, because he had a lot of success under him when he was the OC in Philly, and I think that's just huge for him to have that kind of connection with the head coach, that kind of trust.
Absolutely,
that definitely was a big up for his mindset.
Okay. Staying on topic with the Colts, we'll talk about this Titans versus Colts matchup. It's a division matchup. The Titans looking to run away with the matchup. I think they're 3 games ahead of the Colts now in that division.
Yeah.
That was a huge game, huge win for them. It was an overtime game. Like you were saying, Wentz showing a lot of glimpses of being great again. They're giving him 51 chances, 51 passing attempts last game, which is huge. I think that was the most of any quarterback last week. And however, though, through 2 costly interceptions at the end of the game, one right before overtime, threw a pick six, just trying to throw it away with his left hand, threw it just to the wrong person into the end zone. And then in overtime, made a bad decision, which ultimately cost him the game. But I think before that, I thought Wentz was playing a very good game.
No, I think he played a very good game as well, but that was another problem that we saw when he was in Philly with us. He just made a couple bad decisions every once in a while. He seemed like, it's not like he tried to force things, but he didn't know when the play was over. And he's not good in like making decisions, throwing the ball out when he needs to. He tries to force things too much.
He definitely plays hero ball a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And that flip with the left hand looks so bad.
So terrible.
Yeah. That's a rookie move.
Yeah. On the other side of the ball, Ryan Tannehill had a pretty good game. 23 completions on 33 attempts, 265 yards and for 3 touchdowns. Derrick Henry, of course, got hurt in that game, but still ended with 28 carries and 68 yards. And A.J. Brown had 10 receptions, 155 yards, and a touchdown. A.J. Brown was a little iffy in the beginning of the year. I know he got injured a little bit, but showing last week, he's still the man. A.J. Brown is just, he's built different, honestly.
I think that injury for Derrick Henry, too, is not good for the Titans whatsoever. I think he was their offense, but for fantasy purposes, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, they're definitely going to be a lot more productive now, definitely going to see more targets and more opportunities. So the Titans are going to have to change something, because that offense was based off Derrick Henry's rushing ability, and now without Derrick Henry, they're going to have to find different ways to score. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Sure.
Another game that happened last week was the Thursday night game. The Packers sneaked by the Cardinals in a 24-21 victory, giving the Cardinals their first loss of the season. Without Davante Adams, the Packers still managed to get it done against the undefeated Cardinals. Anyone want to talk about that game?
I mean, I think it was a pretty entertaining game nonetheless. It wasn't one of the more high-scoring games of the year, but it was very back and forth.
Yeah, it was definitely keeping you on the edge of their seats. Aaron Rodgers threw 22 completions on 37 attempts, 184 yards and 2 touchdowns. A.J. Dillon out-touching Aaron Jones, but Aaron Jones getting the receiving work, 7 receptions for 51 yards. Definitely stepped up his receiving game with Davante Adams out. You'd love to see that if you're an Aaron Jones fantasy owner. Yeah. And then the Cardinals, obviously, they looked like they struggled a little bit. Kyler Murray didn't throw any touchdowns this game or rush any in. He just had 2 interceptions.
You know, I'm definitely liking how Zach Ertz has fit in with this Cardinals offense so far. I think he's been very productive in the 2 games he's played, and I'd like to see how he moves forward for the rest of the season if he can keep up.
Yeah, and tight end was really just the one position in that offense where they needed to fill, and now that they got that weapon, that offense is looking even scarier than it was.
Yeah, that is definitely a scary offense. How do you feel about the Cardinals shifts?
This is almost one of those losses that it's almost a good loss for them. You know, undefeated 7-0 coming into last week, you kind of start to get that are we ever going to lose again type of feeling. I don't know if that's what they were, but that thought can sink in. So a loss like that to another 7-1 team, it's not going to hurt you, it's not going to kill you, but again, it's kind of an ego check, right?
Yeah,
we can lose games. We're not invincible. We do need to come in week by week, locked in, ready to go. So,
yeah. I think you said it perfectly, an ego check. I was going to say it put them in check. You know, now they're going to, I think, but they don't have a bye this week, do they? No, they don't have a bye this week. They play the 49ers. So, probably come out as a division game. Try to win that one.
Yeah, I think it came at a good time, too, that little ego check, like you said. Not too late in the season to the point where they're going to start going downhill, but right in the middle of the season, so they still have time to figure themselves out, get back together. And I think, like you said, very, very nice ego check for them.
And Aaron Rodgers only having 184 yards, but still, to this day, just knowing how to pull away with games.
He just wins games, man.
Another game last week is a huge blowout from the Eagles, 44-6 over the Lions. The Eagles look good against probably not the best Lions team, but I mean, they've been in a lot of games with a lot of good teams this year. So I thought it was going to be interesting. I thought maybe the Lions could get their first win of the year, but the Eagles definitely shut that down. Jalen Hurts looked good, even though he didn't pass for any touchdowns. Definitely looked good against the ball at the field, but it wasn't really about like the offensive yards. Defense that got it done as well, and all the running backs. Everyone thought it was going to be Kenneth Gainwell week, but it was not. It was Jordan Howard and Boston Scott. Howard ended with 57 yards and 2 touchdowns, and Boston Scott ended with 60 yards and 2 touchdowns.
You know, it's crazy what happens when you actually decide to run the football. Who would have thought? After every single person in the Philadelphia area has been calling for Nick Sirianni to run the ball for the past 8 weeks, he finally decides to do it, and look what happens.
Unfortunately, it comes with Miles Sanders on the IR.
Yeah.
I was hoping for that kind of love all season.
He's got personal vendetta or something against Miles Sanders.
Apparently. I mean, their last coach had the same thing. Refused to lose. He's probably their best offensive weapon. They refused to give him the ball.
Yeah, definitely probably one of their best playmakers on that offense. And just they refuse to run the ball until he's out. Mayo, you want to talk about the Eagles and how you hope they plan to run the ball the rest of the season?
I mean, you saw glimpses of it in the in the Raiders game, first quarter, they were running the ball. They looked like a sound offense. Miles Sanders goes out. Sirianni struggled to adjust in that game. But this game, he found his real running backs, Jordan Howard. Love to see him getting the ball more.
Yeah, I thought he got cut before the season.
Like, yeah, honestly, I thought
Jordan Howard got cut too.
And if you look on the NFL fantasy app, it still says he's not on the team. But 2 touchdowns for the Birds this week. I know Kenneth Gainwell fans weren't too happy, though. Didn't get the production.
Not at all.
Kenneth Gainwell owners, like, they expected him to get the production of what they hoped Miles Sanders was going to get in that Raiders game coming into it, like what it was looking like, but he just did not get it. Other running backs getting touchdowns.
And Gainwell, who got 13 carries as opposed to Jordan Howard and Scott, who got 12 carries but putting on less production, definitely not a good look for Gainwell.
Yeah, not a good look. Another game that happened this week was the Cowboys overcoming the Dak Prescott injury and beating the Vikings 20-16. The week of backup quarterbacks. Yeah. Like
Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush, that man. 24 completions on 40 attempts. You know, this just shows that the Cowboys offense wants to throw the ball. They brought in a third string quarterback for the Cowboys and let him throw the ball 40 times for 325 yards and 2 touchdowns. What are you going
to
say, Matt?
I said it pains me to say it, but the Cowboys are legit.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Coming in and taking down that Vikings team without Dak Prescott, that very, very impressive win. Mm-hmm. So I think as an Eagles fan, it hurts to say, but they are a very dangerous team this year, and I think that they can definitely make a big run in the playoffs.
And it's crazy to see that they had 2 wide receivers over 100 receiving yards that game with a third-string quarterback, and I'm still not surprised. CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, you telling me they get 100 receiving yards a game, like in a game, and I'm not surprised at all, and they both did it this week. Cooper with 122 rushing yards, receiving yards and a touchdown, and CeeDee Lamb with 112 yards. The Vikings side obviously didn't get it done too well. Justin Jefferson got hurt, a little banged up on that in that game. Adam Thielen looked pretty good, 6 receptions, 78 yards and a touchdown. But, you know, couldn't get it done against the Cowboys.
Yeah, you look at it, too. This was a pretty close game going in for most of the game. At the end of the day, third down efficiency, 7 for 14 by the Cowboys. The Vikings were 1 for 13 on third down. That is absolutely atrocious. And at the end of the day, if you're 1 for 13 on third down, you're likely not winning the game. So I think that's definitely something that the coaching staff's going to look at and have to try to see if they have any new plays to write up.
Mm-hmm. Another thing to note about this Cowboys team is their defense. Their defense is looking really good. Their pass rushers are looking really well, getting a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins in that game. And Michael Parsons from Penn State, really, really good linebacker for them.
Yeah, I love that pick for them coming out of the draft. I think he was, from watching him at Penn State, he looked incredible. And I was actually someone I really was hoping the Eagles would take a look at. But after Devontae Smith came to us, it was obvious we had to grab him. But Michael Parsons, great player.
Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on the Cowboys this year, Chips?
Kind of like you guys, as you guys were saying, the Eagles fan, it hurts to say, but this might actually be the year. The Cowboys fans say it every year that we them boys, this is our year, but then they go, you know, 500 at best. But, yeah, they're scary. Their offense is pretty loaded with Cooper and Lamb. Zeke is – he's kind of having a down year, but with Tony Pollard kind of coming out and shown to be a pretty legitimate back.
Which Cooper are you talking about now?
Cooper Rusher, Amari Cooper.
C, all of the above. Amari Cooper, sticking with receivers. But
See, that actually shows a lot because going into the game, everyone said that Dak Prescott looked good in warm-ups, but they still had the trust in Cooper Rush and their team knew they can get it done.
Yeah, according to Cowboys superfan Mr. Manlove, our athletic director here, apparently it was one of those situations where if Dak had to play, he could go out and play, but they didn't feel the sense of urgency, so they kind of just put a Cooper Rush out.
It's understandable.
I mean, with that offense surrounded by the quarterback, you could throw Mark Sanchez in there, and he'll give you 250 and 2
touchdowns. Mark Sanchez.
Easy.
All right, and that is going to conclude this segment of the recap from Week 8. When we come back, we'll be talking about this upcoming Week 9. And it's a short break.
Your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America Land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I gotta tell you, I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too, but I'm glad we are.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and life experiences come together through conversation, and it feels good.
Wow, your story is so...
Interesting?
Yeah.
When people actually sit down, talk, and listen to one another, they can break down boundaries and connect as human beings. At lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep, you can listen to amazing, life-changing conversations and find simple tools to start a conversation of your own.
I know one thing. This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together by having the courage to start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
I'm Jimmy Zingaro, back with another segment of Fantasy Football with the Boys, joined by my co-host, Matt Martin, Michael David, and of course, Mr. Shivers again this week. And right now, we're going to be talking about the upcoming week. Week 9 starts tomorrow, Jets versus Colts. You guys want to talk about that game a little bit? How you think Mike White's going to adjust to probably a better defense this week?
Mike White, I think, coming off last week's performance, it's going to be hard to replicate that. And this is a pretty good Colts defense that he's going to be up against. So I'm very curious to see how he performs.
Yeah, especially for the Colts. They're also coming off a loss to the Titans, which is a huge division loss. So I feel like they don't think they can lose another game, especially being three games behind the Titans. So I definitely have the Colts win this one against Jets, who are arguably one of the worst teams in football.
Yeah, gotta think last week was a flash in the pan for the Jets, probably going to regress back to the norm. I think we're going to see some good old Jets football this week with a Colts win.
Yeah, me too. Mayo, what do you think?
Hopefully Carson Wentz can really show himself this week against a weak Jets defense. I got the Colts win.
Yeah, okay. Another game we have on Sunday is going to be the Packers versus the Chiefs. The Packers are going to be without Aaron Rodgers this week due to COVID. But I think Jordan Love's going to come in here, and I actually have the Packers beating the Chiefs. I think they're just a really good team. Their defense looking really solid, and the Chiefs looking not too good. Almost losing to the Giants last week. I know the Giants aren't that bad, but they still didn't look as efficient as they were years prior. So I still have the Packers.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take the Packers in that game as well. I mean, for anyone that I don't know if you guys watched that Chiefs game this weekend, but I mean, I don't know what it was. It's like Mahomes is hesitant to throw to any of his receivers besides Tyreek Hill at this point. Like, Travis Kelce on multiple occasions was wide open, nobody even in the vicinity of him, and he was still just trying to force stuff to Tyreek Hill. And, I mean, it worked this week. I still don't think the Chiefs looked very good. They scraped away with a win, but I don't know. I mean, Jair Alexander, if he can stop Tyreek Hill or at least slow him down, I think it's going to be a big problem for this Chiefs offense.
And not to interrupt you, but breaking news from Scott Grodzki, Packers QB2 Jordan Love was at the same Halloween party as Aaron Rodgers this weekend.
Oh, man.
So, likely no Jordan Love as well then. I'm going to be honest, I don't even know who the third-string quarterback on the Packers is. They might have to throw A.J. Dillon out there for all we know. So
run the Wildcat all game.
Yeah. Seems that way.
Who you got in this game, Shivs?
I was with you guys on the Packers until Mayo dropped that bomb on us. I mean,
the Mayo bomb. The Woj bomb.
The Woj bomb. The Mayo bomb. I like it. Even though they're having a down year, I think the Chiefs are still good enough to beat a third string quarterback. The Packers are looking at a guy who has not taken a rep with this team behind quarterback, and I don't think you can win a game with something like that. Chiefs are still Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes. Their offense is still what it is, so I think they can get that one done.
It's gonna be interesting to see what the Packers do, because looking at their depth chart, they do not have a third string quarterback. Yeah. So they're gonna have to go out, maybe pick one up free agency, maybe trade for one this week. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, like Shiv said too, Jordan Love really getting no rest with the first team. So whoever they bring in as that third string, you gotta think he probably has even less than Jordan Love. So I don't know. I'm changing my pick. I'm taking
my pick's gonna change too. Third string quarterback, whoever it is, gonna come in at Arrowhead. Yeah, I just don't see that. I just don't see that working at all. Yeah. Another game we have this week is a divisional matchup, the Cardinals versus the 49ers. The Cardinals looking to have a bounce-back win after getting their first loss to the Packers last week, and the 49ers looking to, you know, turn it around negative right now, but they've had a couple good losses. I still have the Cardinals, though. Kyler Murray, if they will bring it back this week and shred the 49ers defense.
No, I'm going to have to take the Cardinals as well. I mean, one important thing to look at is Debo Samuel hasn't practiced all week, and he's likely going to be questionable coming into this weekend with a calf injury. He was questionable coming into this game this past weekend, but he managed to log a little bit of practice at the end of the week, and he's just such a spark for that 49ers offense that I feel like if he so happens to not play, they really don't have much going for him on the offensive side of the ball. So I'm going to take the Cardinals as well, even if Debo Samuel does end up playing.
That's another threat out for the 49ers. You know, they've had a lot of running back injuries this year. Then they have Kittle still out, and now if Debo misses the game, that's just a lot of options out. Looking very unfortunate.
For the injuries 49ers. Have just been the story of the 49ers over the years. It's really sad to hear.
It really is. Sad to see. Yeah.
For a team that could have had so much potential full strength.
They were just in a Super Bowl 2 years ago, and just feel like since then they've had three people hurt at all times now.
Who do you like in that game, Shifts?
I'm with you guys with the Cardinals. 49ers are just beat up. They're having a down year. Can't seem to have any luck with their Cardinals on a bounce back. Again, tough one to the Packers last week. They're still possibly the best offense in the league, or at least have the most firepower. With Kyler Murray, D-Hop, and now Zach Ertz and everything that they got, I think they get a comfortable bounce-back win on this one.
Okay, another game coming up this week is on Sunday at 1 p.m. It's going to be the Cleveland Browns taking on the Cincinnati Bengals at the Bengals Stadium. Browns are 4-4, Bengals are 5-3. This divisional matchup, Browns one game behind the Bengals. I got the Bengals in this one. I feel like they lost to the Jets last week. It's gotta be devastating for them. I mean, they were 5-2, looking like a really good team, and then they just come in and lose to one of the worst teams in football. But I think their options on offense are just so strong, and their defense is playing so well this year. Joe Burrow has Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, and T. Higgins to throw to, and the tight end Uzuma has multiple touchdowns this year. I just feel like it's just the offense is so high powered, and the defense is stepping up really well this year that. I see them taking over the dub against the Browns.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm going to take the Bengals as well. I love Joe Burrow, and I'm curious to see how he responds because we all know that the Bengals' O-line is pretty weak, one of the weaker O-lines in the NFL, and the Browns have a very dangerous pass for us led by Myles Garrett. So I'm curious to see how Burrow plays with that kind of pressure coming at him.
Mm-hmm. And this is maybe the strongest battle for Ohio in recent memory.
For real. It's been two down teams for the past couple of years, for a while, like you said, but this matchup should be pretty good this week.
But, yeah, I got that strong Bengals offense overpowering the Browns. I see the Bengals getting away with the dub.
What do you think, Shivs?
I think the big thing with the Bengals is we have to find out who they are yet. Are they contenders or pretenders? Because every week it seems like they blew out the Ravens 2 weeks ago and then lose to the Jets. So there's that they're up and down, really boom or bust. So I think they need to find a little bit more consistency. But I agree with you guys. They're definitely playing really well this year. The Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase hookup has been incredible. I think they come away with a win.
Yeah,
for the battle for Ohio.
Like you said, it's just they're really just boom and bust this year. Like you said, they 41-17 against the Ravens, but then earlier in the season they're losing to teams like the Bears, who just haven't had it this year. And then they've had a close game with the Packers, who are one of the best teams in the NFL, and then they lose to a team like the Jets. So you really just, like you said, they just got to find out and see who they are. Also, upcoming news: there's a lot of players out this week in the NFL. Saquon, COVID reserve. Like we just said, Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers. Michael Thomas just ruled out for the season as his ankle flares up again. Henry Ruggs, unfortunate, terrible news. Henry Ruggs.
Say unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for the family.
It's unfortunate for a lot of people involved, but Henry Ruggs, I don't know how to feel. Shiz, what's your opinion on Henry Ruggs' situation right now?
Unfortunately, I think he still has an NFL career in front of him.
I don't think he deserves it. As a Raiders
fan, I don't think so. I think it's wrong that he has an NFL career in front of him. But looking at some past experiences, guys getting into major trouble, it's usually just a slap on the wrist, a fine, and a suspension. I think he's out for the year. He's going to pay a huge fine, but I think he plays football next year.
This is no new story. How unfortunate it is, it's no new story.
Yeah, terrible to say for the family of those who passed, and it sucks, but again, these guys just seem to get away with it.
I'm looking at some details right now, and it says that he was driving 156 miles an hour before the crash with a blood alcohol level twice the legal limit, and not to mention he had a loaded gun in the car with him at the time. So definitely not looking very promising for Henry Ruggs. Can't say that was the smartest decision by him, and obviously released by the Raiders after the news has become public. So we will see more details to come out. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Nothing. No. So then we have a couple other games this week that are going to be hot topics. The Patriots coming off a big dub against the Chargers, playing against the Carolina Panthers, who we really, like you said, like the Bengals, we really can't see their identity. They started off 3-0, then got a couple losses in a row, and then won again last week. against the Falcons. So this should be a good game. 2-4-4 teams. The Patriots defense looking good against the high-powered Chargers offense last week. But I still got the Carolina Panthers in this one. I think Christian McCaffrey has a chance to come back, and I think if that happens, that just turns their whole entire team around. That's their biggest playmaker. I think, I mean, obviously that's their, what they get paid to do, but these wide receivers got to start catching the ball. A lot of drops from these receivers. Sam Darnold's decision-making, maybe not the best either, but I think they pull it back against the Patriots this week and get the win.
Yeah.
What do you think, Shivs?
Again, more identity issues. Sam Darnold, some weeks he's killing it. Some weeks he's way down. Just looking for consistency. And then the big thing with them, like you said, Christian McCaffrey, he's been on IR. He's been out for a couple weeks. So if he can get back, obviously that's a huge shot in the arm for them to put him over the top. But in that matchup, I'm going to go defense wins and Patriots pull it out.
Mayo, what do you think?
Yeah, just coming out today that Christian McCaffrey is set to return to practice. So could be the return this week. Although I think that they're going to need 1 week just to get him back in the offense. And I think the Patriots are going to come out this one. I think Mac Jones has a good game.
Okay. And that is going to conclude this segment of the upcoming Week 9. We'll see you after this in the draft. Us first Shivs. We're looking to get our revenge after coming off our first win of the year. So I'll see what happens.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There are no words to describe it. The isolation. The boredom. The loneliness. If you're wondering where your teenage son or daughter's spirit went, you're hardly alone. The past year has been devastating, especially for them. But here's the good news. They might just find it again, playing high school sports. Workouts that stimulate, teammates and coaches that care, the sense of belonging so many of us have been missing lately. That's what school sports are all about. The sense of achievement is real, and the camaraderie is hard to beat. Coping with uncertainty is difficult, but school sports can help the teenagers in your family start feeling like themselves again. Encourage them to give it a try. High school sports, it's so much more than a game.
This message presented by the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association and the Directors of Athletics Association of New Jersey.
I'm Jimmy Zingaro, back with another edition of Fantasy Football with the Boys, and I'm joined by my co-host Matt Martin, Michael David, and of course Mr. Shivers. We're looking to get our revenge tour. We're coming off our first win of the year in this little segment over Mr. Riley last week. Thankfully, got that win. Shout out Dalvin Cook for not doing too well. Shout out Cooper Kupp for doing well for us. Last time we played against Shivs, he had Cooper Kupp, so that didn't end too well for us, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, we're looking to pull it back. And Shivs, as we always do, we ask, would you like the first pick or would you like the next two?
All right, I'm gonna get my excuses out early. I was a last second addition to this, so I'm doing research live just so everyone knows.
Mm-hmm. Listen,
I'm still pretty confident.
Shout out Shivs, not a lot of time to prepare, but he did come through and join us
on this.
Thank
you very much for coming through today.
Yeah, I mean, despite the lack of time, I'm still going 2-0 against you guys. Just so. I'm gonna stick to my guns here. I'm gonna defer the first pick. I'm gonna go second two, and put the pressure on you guys.
Okay. Kay. So that means we will have first pick.
Okay. With our first pick this week, obviously, running back, the decision, the position that I think we're going to look at here with the first pick. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor versus the Jets. I like that matchup a lot. The Jets' defense is weak. Jonathan Taylor, he's a very, very talented player. Can explode, get you a lot of fantasy points at any given day. So we'll take Jonathan Taylor.
More importantly, it's against the Jets.
It is against the Jets. So we'll take Jonathan Taylor with our first overall pick.
Jonathan Taylor has just one under 20-point fantasy week in the past five weeks, and that was an 18-point week. So Jonathan Taylor has definitely been on fire recently, especially with that addition to Quentin Nelson coming back off the IR. Huge for the Colts offense.
Really like that one. I'm not going to lie. That was definitely top of my mind there, especially with the Jets matchup. I'm going to change up a little bit. I'm not going to make – ooh. I'm not going to go with my last strategy of hoping you guys don't take running backs. I wanted this guy last time I was on the show. I'm grabbing him this guy. I'm going to get my boy Najee Harris with my first pick.
As soon as you said you wanted him last time, I remembered instantly what happened last time. Yeah. Last time you let us, you thought you took one receiver.
I thought I was slick.
He thought you were slick. Took the first pick, took a receiver, didn't think we'd take two running backs, but we took both the best running backs available.
Right. But yeah, John Taylor was definitely, he was kind of the look I was, guy I was looking at, especially with that Jets matchup. He's been a beast. I've got fantasy interest in my leagues this year, but Najee Harris, so much volume. He's a top running back. They're up against Chicago, which I think is a really good matchup for him. And then for my second pick, gonna switch it up. I went with this mindset last time. The position with probably the least amount of depth. Gotta go grab my guy. He's available. He was. Let me double check. He was not taken last week. Gotta have him. Travis Kelce at tight end.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good pick. Travis Kelce coming off of not a lot of targets, as many targets as we expected from him last week, but just hoping that he, you know, that turn changes. Okay, so that means we are now on the clock. And I think with our next pick, we're gonna go with Alvin Kamara as our flex option.
I was just queuing him up.
Kamara, I don't know if Taysom Hill is coming back this week. Honestly, for our sake, hopefully he doesn't. Yeah. Hopefully we get another week of Trevor Siemian. You know, that's a third-string quarterback, came in, did pretty well last week, beat the Bucks. So I feel like he'll check the ball down to Alvin Kamara a lot. But even if not, Alvin Kamara, definitely one of the most talented running backs in the league. I feel like he'll get it done this week against the Arizona Cardinals, I mean. So, oh, wait, does he play the Cardinals or the Falcons?
The Falcons.
He plays against the Falcons this week, actually. So he plays against Atlanta. So I think that's a good matchup for him, too. So Alvin Kamara. And then
pick.
You know, coming in now, I think we're going to look towards our wide receiver position. You got, honestly, not many options this week. Devontae Adams is always a good call, but with that third-string quarterback going in, who knows? So I think we're going to take Deebo Samuel this week against the Cardinals. He's been hot this year. Had about 23 fantasy points last week without catching a touchdown. So who knows? One touchdown this week, and shows you can be in trouble with him.
Another guy that I was queuing up and taking a look at. He was top of my mind for receiver. I know he's questionable, but again, you're right. Dude's been an absolute stud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely like Deebo Samuel.
Oh, man. You guys got me digging here. You took two of my picks, Kamara and Samuel, I was definitely thinking about. All right. Let me commit to one. This one's going to hurt as an Eagles fan, but I'm going with my boy Mike Williams for the LA Chargers.
Ooh, I like that.
Again, Chargers, super high-powered offense. Eagles, not the best defense. Mike Williams has kind of been that top guy in that offense. I think he gets back to his form of just catching touchdowns and getting yards and scoring points.
Yeah, I like that pick. He's very boom or bust, but I mean, against this Eagles team, I definitely think he has a chance of coming out and having a big week this week. Yeah,
very high ceiling.
For sure.
Okay, it's coming back to us now, I believe.
No, I think I got one more, right?
He's on the pick, yeah. Yep. So Shivs currently has Najee Harris, Mike Williams, and Travis Kelce. And his next pick, he can take quarterback, flex, defense, or kicker.
Let me make sure he wasn't taken. He was not. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson at QB. Ooh.
Definitely a quarterback we were looking at.
Dude's been going crazy all year. Minnesota defense just looked a little suspect against the Cowboys.
That's Cooper Rush, man. Can't blame the Vikings defense.
True. I mean, if Cooper Rush does that to you, imagine what Lamar Jackson is going to do to you. So I think he's going to run all over him.
All right, so that means we have our next two picks. Mayo, you want to take it away?
I'm looking at our tight end position,
mm-hmm.
and I'm feeling Mark Andrews off the Ravens. I think he's going to come back. I think he's going to just keep doing what he's been doing. Lamar Jackson's first option.
See, I feel like week in, week out, we always do this draft, and we let each other pick the thing, and I feel like I never get to pick the tight end, and I just feel like my co-host is having a personal vendetta against Darren Waller.
I was just going to say, it looks like you have a very homer pick that you wanted to grab. Yeah,
I feel like with Henry Ruggs out, going to get a lot more targets for Darren Waller, just one of the best playmakers in the league, the most skilled tight end in the league, best receiving tight end in the league. But, you know, my co-host don't seem to like Darren Waller very much, but Mark Andrews, good pick. Okay, and then you want to go ahead and ruin our team? I mean, take our quarterback again?
Oh, boy.
You guys don't know this, but I paid Mayo off before the show.
I believe it. I definitely believe it.
All right, Mayo.
Last week, took Kyle Pitts in our tight end position and got 3 points for us.
Let's see who the quarterback is this week.
I would love to pick Jalen Hurts for our squad against the Los Angeles Chargers. I feel like he'll be down. He'll be able to get a lot of garbage time points. He'll be rushing the ball. He'll be throwing, and he'll get us over 25.
Okay, Jalen Hurts is going to be our quarterback this week.
Hurts has been solid. He's one of the top quarterbacks in fantasy this year. Even in some of those, he's turned into a junk time master where even if the game's kind of over, he rushes for one or throws one or does something.
You know, I actually definitely do like that pick because the quarterbacks that we like this year, Josh Allen, obviously, we can't take. Kyler Murray, he's questionable coming into this, so I don't know how he was going to be. Patrick Mahomes, I don't really like him this week. And then you already took Lamar Jackson like we were looking at. So I like the Jalen Hurts pick. Definitely think he can put us good points this week.
For sure. All right, so I got two left. Or I got three left, right. I got flex, defense, kicker.
Yeah.
Man, like you guys were saying, there's no one really jumping off the board.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey's just got a huge question mark on him. Devontae Adams has
COVID.
Lord knows who throwing to him.
Back, yeah. Aaron Rodgers has COVID, I mean.
Yeah. There's no crazy matchup I'm looking at. All right, I think I'm going to go for flex. I think he continues his hot streak with A.J. Brown. Like you said, Derrick Henry going down, they're going to have to retool that offense, and A.J. Brown being the next best weapon, I think his volume is going to go way up, his production is going to stay the same.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I like that pick a lot.
I was definitely between Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown, especially A.J. Brown coming off that 10-reception, 155-yard week. That's a good pick. And then you have one more, your defense or your kicker. Still can't believe my teammates just do not like my favorite player. It's pretty crazy.
That's brutal. You guys gotta figure that out.
Yeah, we do. We do have to come to an agreement that we have to start liking Darren Waller.
The Raiders were kind of having a bad week this week, so I don't know.
That's off the field. They continue to have good weeks on the field. That's a good thing, though.
They leave it in the locker room pretty well. Exactly. All right. I'm going to go with this guy just because I like saying his name. He's also a really solid kicker. Is Greg the Leg Zuerlein.
Greg Zuerlein.
Dude's got a boot. He's got in the building range. Put him anywhere on the field. He's making a field goal. So I'm going to go with him.
Greg Zuerlein's missed a lot of kicks this year for the Cowboys. I won't lie. He definitely could have won that game against the Bucks and been an undefeated team.
That was week one.
That was week one.
He's fine.
He missed a field goal last week too, but hopefully he does that a lot this week.
No misses this week. You heard that, Greg.
Matt, you want to take us away with our defensive kicker?
Coming in here,
we're looking at our defense, and this week, I like that Colts defense a lot against the Jets this week. The Jets offense did have a good week last week against the Patriots, but I think Mike White might struggle on primetime Thursday night football against the Colts team that has a lot of experience on the defensive side of the ball. So we'll take the Colts defense against the Jets this week.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Don't doubt the great White, yeah.
The great White.
I like that. And then we'll swing on over to our kicker. And, I mean, this is a position that could obviously be a game changer. So I think Justin Tucker is a player that, when you look at the kicker position, has just been quality throughout his whole career. And if you need a kicker that is going to be consistent and has a chance to get you a lot of points, I'll take Justin Tucker any day.
He's the GOAT, man.
That's the most thought, I think, that's gone into a kicker this year on this podcast. Matt definitely chose Justin Tucker for a reason, and I like it. I like that Justin Tucker
outscores our tight end. Just kidding.
You guys are brutal.
It's funny because coming into this week, as a joke, I wrote on the back, don't let Mayo draft a single player today.
Yeah, it's funny because Mark Andrews is about to drop 20 for us.
You know what? Honestly,
you guys are all going to.
I hope he does.
I truly do hope he does. Like, I'm on your side here.
I hope he does.
Really?
I hope he does.
We are on the same team, so I really do hope he does drop a lot of points, Mayo. Like, I want you to prove us wrong. I really do.
Yeah. It does not sound like that.
I like that pick because no matter what happens, you two are going to be at each other's throat Monday morning. So
yeah.
First block on Monday is going to be entertaining regardless.
Me and Mayo do have Shoes first block, so whoever has more points, Waller or Andrews, it's going to be interesting.
So it's either going to be Mayo hype as hell or Jimmy being pretty quiet and condescending about it.
Exactly.
All right, so is that me left with a defense?
Yeah, you left with your defense.
I'm going to go Cardinals. Cardinals against San Fran. San Fran, again, they're facing injuries. You know, even with Deebo Samuel being the stud, he's questionable. I like the matchup. I think the Cardinals handle them.
That Cardinals defense has been very good this year.
So with the Cardinals defense in there being projected 10 points, that leaves Shivs projected over us by 5 points, 116 by Shivs to 111 by us. And but last week we did take the win. That's last week. Yeah, last week we did take the win, so hopefully we come through with that.
No, we are also waiting.
And what else we're coming through?
Oh, yeah, we are also waiting. This is an official call out to Mr. Riley. I don't want to necessarily say it's a threat, but I am sitting here waiting for my brownies and my cookies.
Patiently.
Yes.
Yes, I'm very hungry. My tummy's rumbling.
Just to give you a little bit of context, last week Mr. Riley was on the show, and we made a bet that if we won, that he would bake us brownies or cookies or any kind of sweet that he desires that he feels is good and he likes making. And if he won, we would buy him a huge bag of candy corn. And, you know, that's why we had to step up our game last week.
I was really hoping to go into this long weekend with a nice platter of brownies or cookies to take home. So, Mr. Riley, we're waiting on you, man.
Get on it, Mr. Riley. But that's going to wrap us up over here on Fantasy Football with the Boys. Thank you, Mr. Shivers, for joining us again.
My pleasure.
It's going to be my pleasure to beat you this time. Mayo, Matt. I'm Jimmy Zingaro. Have a good one.